Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. Surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Well, I'd like to start off with a quote from a drink cozy my daughter gave me on Father's Day. The message talks about country, but I think it is relevant to what conservatives and the Republican Party are battling with. We are constantly being told that we need to unite behind Romney and help pull the party line. However, many conservatives, including myself, simply cannot and will not do it. This is because we will not, once again, put party over principles. The quote defines the reason and demands us asked the question if we conservative Republicans ought to choose party over people. And the quote is, "A man's country is not a certain area of land, of mountains, river, and woods, but it is a principle, and patriotism is loyalty to that principle." Now, I ask the listeners whether you think conservatives ought to get behind Romney, to back the Republican Party line, or stick on their principles. Callers on both sides, of course, are welcome to join into the conversation. And the call-in number is 347-945-7428. Okay, so you're more than welcome to call in. I think the conservatives, in my opinion, ought to stick by their principles. I believe that it is the patriotic thing to do. I agree with the author of this quote, and who is George William Curtis, who was actually one of the founders of the Republican Party. And personally, I think George Curtis would be disappointed in Mitt Romney as one of the followers of the Republican Party. And I think he'd not support a candidate who would say, for one, that he is only a Republican in name only. But also, the way Romney has conducted himself in this campaign. So that being said, there's some question on whether still, after knowing and vetting Romney, if people are still willing to vote for him. And here is a clip I've got of some of that questioning.
I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
Who is this guy? Can you trust him?
I have never supported the President's Recovery Act, all right, the stimulus. No time, nowhere, no how.
I think there is need for economic stimulus.
You're only allowed a certain number of flips before people begin to doubt your character.
The big issue with Mitt Romney has been the issue of abortion. Has he flip-flopped on abortion?
I will preserve and protect a woman's right to choose.
The right next step in the fight to preserve the sanctity of life is to see Roe v. Wade overturned.
He was pro-choice, then he's pro-life.
Or he flip-flops again, just like he did on abortion, just like he did on Ronald Reagan.
Look, I was an independent during the time of Reagan-Bush. I'm not trying to return to Reagan-Bush.
The principles that Ronald Reagan espoused are as true today as they were when he spoke them.
There you go again.
In 1985, I helped found a company. I learned how America competes with companies in other countries. In other countries.
The money he has that he didn't inherit is what he made as a private equity mogul, shutting down companies, liquidating their assets, and firing their American workers.
I think you'll find that I've been as consistent as human beings can be.
If you're looking for someone who's never changed any positions on any policies, then I'm not your guy. I'm not your guy.
I think Americans just don't know sometimes which Mitt Romney they're dealing with.
The new cover of Time magazine today asks the question, why don't they like me?
Mitt Romney spends little to no time doing interviews on the TV, whereas the other candidates are working the Sunday news show circuit like a politician running for president.
Romney often bypassing reporters on the rope line.
Remember earlier this year how Romney got $1 million donation from an organization that just suddenly ceased to exist the next day?
It's really someone wanting to give Romney the money while staying in the shadows.
Mitt Romney stealing all of Barack Obama's big dollar Wall Street donors.
A good chunk of his funds came from his buddies on Wall Street, like Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Bank of America.
To get that kind of money, you've got to cozy up as an incumbent to all of the special interest groups who can go out and raise money for you from their members. That kind of relationship has an influence on the way you're going to vote.
But look, I'm not going to spend my time going after Ben Bernanke. I'm not going to take my effort and focus on the Federal Reserve.
Should the chairman of the Federal Reserve be appointed again?
I think he's doing a good job.
You do?
Yes, I do. And I think it's important to have the Fed as an independent agency. I do not think you want to have the Congress of the United States trying to pull strings at the Fed.
He physically
personality-wise, comes across as if he was designed by East German scientists to be the perfect android politician.
I thought it was such a disastrous interview for Mitt Romney.
Romney's donations from lobbyists actually come to more than all of his GOP counterparts combined.
Do you really want this cat to be president?
Romney can't win. He's dead in the water.
Well, that's what we did in Massachusetts, and that is we put together an exchange, and the president's copying that idea. I'm glad to hear that. Obamacare is bad news, and if I'm president of the United States, I will repeal it. I don't think I've ever hired an illegal in my life. We hired a lawn company to mow our lawn, and they had illegal immigrants that were working there.
Flip-flop myth.
But I believe the world is getting warmer. I believe that humans contribute to that.
My view is that we don't know what's causing climate change on this planet.
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper who changes position because of political expedience.
If Republicans didn't like Mitt Romney's position on the so-called union-busting proposal in Ohio, all they had to do is wait one day before he changed it.
I'm not speaking about the particular ballot issues.
But by today, Romney had a different answer.
I fully support Governor Kasich's, I think it's called Question 2 in Ohio.
He's changed his position on a number of issues.
Republican Mitt Romney says he will not sign a no new taxes pledge.
I'm proud to be the only major candidate for president to sign the tax pledge.
Your view has changed so dramatically.
I just signed a piece of legislation extending the ban on certain assault weapons.
I do not support any new legislation of an assault weapon ban nature.
Experts are predicting kind of a tough fight between Romney and his biggest ideological opponent, Mitt Romney from 4 years ago. Those guys don't agree on anything.
And there are two Mitt Romneys.
This guy has played both sides of the fence with equal fervor.
The TARP got paid back and it kept the financial system from collapsing.
So you feel it was well worth it?
Well, it was the right thing to do. TARP ought to be ended. TARP ought to be ended.
Mitt Romney flip-flopped again. He's trying to take credit for saving the auto industry.
I'm not willing to sit back and say too bad for Michigan, too bad for the fans of the car industry.
After he proposed letting the auto industry die.
That's exactly what I said. Let Detroit go bankrupt. Let Detroit go bankrupt.
You're only allowed a certain number of flips before people begin to doubt your character.
I think people understand that I'm a man of steadiness and constancy.
This guy, can you trust him?
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper who changes position. He's changed his position on a number of issues.
The mixed messages are what did it.
Some people are going to see those changes of mind as awfully politically convenient. It's an issue of character.
The core issues for a man, as you said earlier, who doesn't seem to have a core.
I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
Okay, I'd like to let...
There are a lot of reasons not to elect me. I'd like to ask you to just pass this message along to a friend. Thanks so much.
I thought it was over before. It was over. But I'd like to take this time to let in a good friend, colleague, I'd like to think. I believe that's Sammy. You on the Sammy there? On the line here, Sammy?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, how's it going, bud?
That's an awesome clip. I haven't played that one before, have I?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. If it was, it was a night I missed, which weren't very many of them.
But if you can, is that a YouTube clip?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
And when you get a chance, post it on my wall, because we will play it tonight at the end of the show.
Okay, great.
We got a big show planned for tonight, and why not Mitt the video, the audio just pointed out, why not Mitt Romney? He is the biggest flip-flop. He's a bigger flip-flopper than John McCain was.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain at least stood by his rhino values. Mitt Romney is nothing but a flip-flopper. And he says one thing, and when I heard that little clip about the he would not try to renew the assault weapons ban. Oh, Lord, I would not trust him on that with anything.
Right, and to say that he's stuck with conservative principles, you know, trying to say that now that he's, you know, an ultra-conservative right now, that's just not true. You know, it's, go ahead.
Not when you remember his exact phrase, he's very conservative.
Yeah, very conservative, exactly.
I mean, the man comes from one of the most liberal states in our great republic, the state of Massachusetts, which has taken so many freedoms away from people that believe in the U.S. Constitution and have robbed them of their basic beliefs in America and our great republic.
Right, and he was part and parcel, you know, part of that problem.
Yes, he was. I mean, first he was, what would you call it, anti-Second Amendment. Now he's pro-Second Amendment. First he was pro-choice. Now he's pro-life. He instituted Obamacare before Obamacare even became an issue.
Right, it was the grandfather of Obamacare.
Exactly. I mean, we could go into his religion, but that's not worth the effort because that's not the reason we're out here to block him. It's because of his liberalism.
Right, and even in my opinion, first, and that's why, you know, the title of the show is, you know, principles or party. Is because I think, you know, just the way that he has conducted himself in this campaign, and not only him, the GOP and the, you know, establishment and the RNC, the way they conducted themselves, you know, is, you know, beyond the pale. It was deceitful. It was, there was so much chicanery, outright lies, you know, trying to buy, you know, tens of millions of dollars in negative ads on Newt Gingrich, lying about Newt Gingrich, you know, to try to put himself in the position that he was, you know, and then how much money he gave to the people's campaigns and then who turned around and endorsed him, you know, and then you've got the speculation of him handing out subs, for, you know, to try to get people's votes out, and I believe that was in Wisconsin, and then you also have in New York, active voter suppression, okay, and I've got a clip of that I'm going to share with people tonight, you know, as the listeners tonight, is about the active, you know, voter suppression in New York, which was actually successful because New York voting, you know, voter turnout was 78% less this year's primary than it was in 2008.
And one thing about New York, you go to upper state New York, they are conservative people. It's not like New York City where little Mr. Anthony Weiner came from, the pervert that likes to sex text. But you get into the upper parts of the state, they are conservative. And it's just like you go to your great state of Ohio, and
I probably would like to disagree with you on that. I don't think Ohio is a great state. I appreciate the sentiment, but I'm not too happy with Ohio right now. I mean, in 2008 we went for Obama. This year they went for Romney. I'm not, you know, too happy. I'd move to Texas and Florida if I could.
Well, Florida went for Romney too, but let me tell you though, I'm talking about you get out to
the lies,
But you get out into the rural areas of Ohio,
true,
and a lot
true.
Of them vote conservative.
That's true. They're not all bad. You're right. It's not all bad. I'm just saying, you know, on the large scale, you know, I'm not too happy with, you know, where Ohio has been leaning. I mean, and in my city as well. I mean, there's not one Republican on the entire city council where I live. You know, they're all Democrats and liberals.
Well, here in Jacksonville, we got it's majority Republican, but we do now have our first Democratic mayor in probably 25 years. But the mayor is actually doing better than the Rhino Republicans that are sitting on the city council. He is forcing the right things. He is forcing the police department, the what would you call that union? Oh Lord, most states have it. But the police union, the firefighters union, the teachers union, they are forcing them to make greater contributions to their retirement plan, to their health care. And so I will give the Democratic mayor here in Jacksonville a little bit of credit, because he knows if he doesn't do that, our city will go broke. We will become another little Detroit. And he's the only Democrat I will give any precedence to right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got another. My wife got a letter today from Newt Gingrich, but with Mitt Romney's address on it.
Really?
But instead of asking for a donation, but instead of responding, I just tore it up. I shredded it and put it in the garbage can, because garbage goes out tomorrow.
Well, you know that you can use shredded paper in your compost bin there, Sammy. And you know me, I'm the the environmentalist out here. So my wife and I know this should be a topic for Thursday night, discussion for Thursday night, but for green night, you know, environmentalist night for me. But about a month ago, we went to a composting seminar, and I just found out that you can use, and we shred a lot of, you know, paper, and we were recycling it, but I found out you can also compost it. So I was pretty happy about hearing that. So, but anyway,
well,
I digress. That's a Thursday night. Thursday night topic, but.
But tonight on my show is going to be about Newt's foreign policy. And
that's tonight?
Yeah, that will be the subject matter tonight. I've gotten back where I have not been posting individual topics for the night, but maybe I should start doing that. But we have to support a constitutional conservative, and we have to force a broker convention.
Exactly, and it's very important, because, you know, the reason why, I'm so upset about with the Republicans. I've been a Republican all my adult life, and even while I was a kid, I was the little Republican, you know. And I just feel like the Republican Party has gone away from, you know, their principles, and I think the only way we can bring that back is, and the start to bring it back is, as you said, to get a constitutional conservative nominated. That's a starting point. I think that'd
Agreed.
Be a great starting point. And in my mind, that's Newt Gingrich. I mean, if there's any
Amen.
Of the listeners out there who think that, you know, someone else would foot the bill, or, you know, as I put in the invitation to come to the show tonight, also, if you think that it's time to unite behind Romney, of course, you're more than welcome to call in as well, and we can discuss that. And the call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. So you're more than welcome to call in as well. But go ahead, Sammy. Go ahead.
And you know, last night, that supposed caller from Breitbart.com,
mm-hmm.
I'm really not putting any precedence, that was actually the young lady.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah,
I've had somebody call me up one time and said they were from, what's the other conservative blog? It's not Drudge. But they called me up and said they were going to expose Newt Gingrich and expose me. And I And I never did hear it. They called my cell phone. So that was probably a troll out there. And
That's how
desperate these people are that are supporting Mitt Romney and supporting Barack Obama. And they are so worried about constitutional conservatives like you, like me, like Sean, like David Cholesterol, like all the other callers that call into my show. And my show fluctuates every night from different callers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, we have a base of callers that are the same, but every night we have different callers call in. And the gentleman from New Orleans, I would really doubt who he is. I think I know he is, and I think I exposed him last night on the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And his agenda is Mitt Romney. And once they pull us down and try to make us feel scared to stand up for what we believe in, which is the U.S. Constitution. The only person out there is Newt Gingrich, and that's why we need a broker convention.
And yes, we do. And speaking of Sean, you mentioned him earlier. I believe he is on hold, so if you don't mind, Sam, I'm going to go ahead and bring him in.
Yeah, please bring in our brother.
Hello, Sean. Are you there?
Hi, Robert. Hi, Sam. How you guys doing?
I'm good. Just talk
we're hanging
about,
in there.
Yep. Talk about principles over party.
Yeah. We just need to get back to the basics of this country like it was in the 80s with Reagan. I mean, bold Reagan conservatism, not this establishment stuff, what they're trying to shove down our throats.
Well, you know, Romney doesn't want to do that.
No,
he doesn't want to bring back the
Bush Reagan era.
Bush Reagan era. Yeah, but hey, you know, don't just take my word for it. Take Mitt Romney's.
Look, I was an independent during the time of Reagan Bush. I'm not trying to return to Reagan Bush. My positions don't talk about things that you suggest they talk about.
See what I mean?
100%.
Excellent, Robert. And
thank you.
We're not going to shut up. And principles over parties. Principles and character and morals mean everything. Parties mean nothing. I mean, I voted for a U.S. senator that was a Democrat from Georgia. His name was Sam Nunn. You can dig him up on the internet. He was one of the old school Democrat conservatives that when they attacked Clarence Thomas, he stood up for Clarence Thomas. And, you know, they're still attacking Clarence Thomas now.
Oh yeah, and they probably will because he doesn't fit the mold, you know, to what they believe, and I'm talking about the liberals believe a black judge should be, but you know, but he's standing by his principles, and he's not going to be put in a box, you know, because of what race that he is, you know, just like, I'll say it again, just because I'm a Republican or conservative, I'm not going to be put in a box and say I can't be an environmentalist, you know, but and the gentleman I quoted from earlier. You know, George Curtis, he was actually one of the founders of the Republican Party. He was one of the founders of the Republican Party. And when he talked about patriotism, is loyalty to that principle. I mean, that's why I truly believe when we call each other patriot, we are really, you know, fit the definition, at least by George Kurtz's standards, you know, of what a patriot is, because we are loyal to our principles. And we're not going to jump over to the side that is appear to be the winner just because we want to pull the party line. We want to be behind the person who's going to uphold our beliefs and our principles and our values, not just turn it on and off like a switch, depending on who you're talking to.
Well, I am not going to be like back in the early 90s, the gentleman just died yesterday, drowned in a swimming pool, supposedly, and he made a comment and said, can't we all just get along? And I'm not saying this in a racial, like, conditure or whatever you call it. I'm saying I am not going to get along with Mitt Romney. I am not going to get along with his supporters. I will not cowtail to them. And as you pointed out, the Republican Party has dished us. We did not dish the Republican Party. And if it comes time for a new party, heck yes, we'll be out there fighting for a new party.
It's not what it takes. I mean, sometimes I, really believe, and there's a lot of my friends, and I'm talking about friends who, we talk here, who think that having multiple parties isn't the answer, but to change the Republican Party. But I think, even if the Republican Party was to be changed, there's still that chance again, and probably a good chance, in my opinion, of it just becoming corrupted once again, because once the people get into that power where they have that much control, they don't want to let go of it. But if you have multiple parties and it's more about your local politics and organic politics where it's not all about Washington, then I think and by that meaning having multiple parties to have a say, I think better representation. Like the Ireland model, I think that would be better, for the people. I mean, I have a lot of friends who disagree with me, but.
But you go to Europe, most of your countries over there have multiple parties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I do not want a communist party allowed in the United States, which is allowed like in France.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They actually allow a communist party to run an office.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, Germany has multiple parties, but they disallow the Nazi Party. So there's definitely precedent in having multiple parties, but disallowing certain ones to be able to take hold. Or even be in office.
Well, I can understand Germany not allowing a Nazi party for what Hitler did to his own country, to his own people, and to the Jewish population. So I can understand Germany not allowing a Nazi party. And we don't need a Nazi party here in the United States and England doesn't allow a Nazi party. And England has about three or four parties over there. They got a Green Party. They got a Socialist Party. They got a Conservative Party. They got three or four parties over there. But we cannot, if we did form a third party, it would really be hard to do it. But if people get pissed off enough to do it, we can do it. But right now, we got to work with what we have. And do we have to change our Republican Party if we're going to work with it? Yes, we do.
Oh, but yes, yeah, definitely. I mean, and do I think, it, you know, that the nation is, you know, America is going to move over? I mean, I think one of the biggest obstacles towards the United States, you know, having a multi-party system is because, one, it's seen as a European-style system. So there's just that natural, almost native resistance to it. But, I mean, that's just, you know, my view on that. Do I think that it would ever become a reality in the United States? Definitely not in my lifetime, or at least probably not in my lifetime. Do we need to take back the party? Exactly. I mean, that was a time when Marco Rubio, for some super PAC called Reclaim America, was trying to get some money. And I said, you know, no, I'm not going to give money to any PACs. I'm just going to give it to the candidate, my money to the candidate who adheres to my principles. Okay, and you know, I wrote on it, you know, that we have to reclaim the Republican Party, you know, as a starting point for reclaiming America.
I agree, and Robert, as Sean and you have both talked about on the telephone, but between the three of us, I mean, we've talked endless hours on the telephone, each one of us at different times. It's not going to take one election. It's not going to take two elections. It's going to take four or five elections. I mean, we're talking probably 2020 or 2022 or 2024 before we can actually clean this government out.
What do you think about that point, Sean?
Yeah, but everyone keeps saying 2016, but I think it's our time is now. We can't afford to keep waiting down the road because you don't even know how much more damage whoever's going to be in office. How much more they can cause? You know, to pretty much cripple the country. Because I keep hearing everybody saying, "Oh, 2016." Well, this is 2012. We need to get it done now, not 4 years from now.
Amen.
You might as well say, oh, we give up in 2012.
Well, I think, you know, in that thought, in that mode of thinking is that's where they, I think there are those who are on our side and, or who are saying, well, then, you know, let's just have our starting point, you know, for retaking the party back, for taking the Republican Party back, to start in 2016, which, you know, while they're still our friends and, you know, they're still conservatives and, you know, we still support them, you know, we believe that it has to start now in 2012 and starting, in my opinion, with the convention, you know, and getting a true conservative, in which a conservative can, only a conservative can defeat Barack Obama, you know, and then thus take back the Republican Party from the moderates to the conservatives, you know, for that purpose. You know, and that's why we keep going back to the need to have a brokered convention, and actually a brokered convention would be a very good thing.
And we need
for multiple reasons.
We need a Reagan conservative in there on top of that. And as I expand, we need a constitutional conservative. It can't be somebody going by the word conservative. They have to adhere to the U.S. Constitution and obey the laws of the Constitution.
Well, and for how long have we been hearing from the Republican Party? Okay, we need another Reagan, especially in this time. I mean, after Carter, you know, there's some people who say, you know, the best thing that could have happened for Reagan was Jimmy Carter. Well, in part, that might have been true. And I think if you take that, and I take it as a lesson to be learned, okay, you take that and put it to today. You know, the best thing that could, you know, would be to counteract Obama would be a conservative like Reagan, because Obama, in a lot of ways, okay, mirrors, you know, what went on, I'm talking about the economy, in the Carter era. So we need another Reagan conservative.
Amen.
Like we needed a Reagan, you know, Reagan conservative, you know, after Jimmy Carter.
And Sean is one of the people that point out all the time on my show, and he does it on your show, that we need a Reagan conservative. A Reagan conservative is a constitutional conservative that adheres to the U.S. Constitution, to the Bill of Rights. And even after Ronald Reagan got shot and almost died, he did not push gun control. I mean, what a patriot is that? I mean, one of his guys, James Brady, was shot in the head, and he was
right.
with permanent brain damage.
Yeah,
now
So what about the Brady bill? I just bring that up about the Brady bill because I know there will be people who are asking about it. Who could bring that up when we talk about that, the Brady bill?
The Brady bill is not one of those bills that has to be re-voted on every few years like the assault weapons ban was set up where it had to be reapproved every few years. And thank God, it's not the assault weapons that kill people. It's the people that kill people.
Right.
And the same thing with handguns. Handguns probably kill more people than anybody, but if you take away handguns from people legally own them, the only people that will have them will be the criminals. And the same thing with assault weapons. Sure, I can go out there and buy me a AK-47 or a AR-15 or an M-16 and go wipe out 10 or 15 people if I was that crazy. There are checks and balances. You've got to do a background check within reason. And they can do an almost an instant background check on you that will go through your state law enforcement, which goes to the FBI background check. I mean, it's almost instant.
Yeah, but, hey, Sean, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, I just want to ask you guys this. But in a way, Sammy, that, you know, you've answered that, and you both can, you know, chime in on it. Remember, we remember Ronald Reagan. And what is one of the greatest things that people would say about him? Not maybe the greatest. That's probably too strong of a word. But one of the things mostly used to describe Ronald Reagan is he the great communicator. Well, I guess I could use the word great because that's what he was called. The great communicator. That is what they call, you know, Ronald Reagan, okay? And he could communicate conservative ideas to the people in a way that the people can understand and motivate them. Remember the shining city on the hill. Now, who else today has that type of skill, oratory skill, of the candidates running today?
Newt. But Sean,
Newt,
you
Gingrich.
Amen. But if Sean wants to chime in, let him go first. I mean, I've taken up a lot of the time, and Sean has a right to speak. I mean, Sean is an awesome patriot.
Well, Robert, you're talking about Reagan and everything. I got went and rented a DVD over the weekend from the History Channel when History Channel used to show actual historical shows, not reality TV. It's about Ronald Reagan and everything, and they were talking about his stage, how he went from you know, acting and all that stuff. They actually said when he first got into really public speaking, he was going around GE plants around the country and talk to the people that worked in the, you know, in the factories and stuff. And that was pretty much his first start of really talking to people, becoming a very good communicator, because there was people that was working in the factory, even, you know, through, like, politics and stuff involved, and they thought, you know, he just spoke perfectly, I mean, well communicated, everything. That's where he pretty much started out at. And then they were talking about a little bit about his history and everything. And then, they said the speech in 1964, which he gave, like, a couple days before the elections in 64, they said that pretty much set off for him to run for governor of California. Then he tried again a couple of times, and he didn't really have good success with it. Then in 80, he finally got over the hump and became president.
Yes, but one of the reasons I believe that Ronald Reagan was such a great orator, the great communicator, is that when he spoke from the heart. He meant what he said. He believed in what he said, and he believed in what was good for America. Okay? Just as new, unlike Mitt Romney. That is why you see, you know, Newt Gingrich going around the country, almost being in campaign mode, being the face of the Republican Party, being the face of conservative values and principles, okay? Not Mitt Romney, because when Mitt Romney goes out and tries to talk, besides his blah, 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 okay, talks about, you know, principles, conservative principles, he stammers because he doesn't feel that from the heart. He doesn't believe in them. He doesn't believe that small government is what's good for the nation. Because really, frankly, I don't think he cares about the good. This is my only humble opinion. I don't think he cares about the good of the nation. I think he's looking for his own self-aggrandizement, is what I think. I think he wants to be king. I think he wants to have the President of the United States be the mantle, something to put on his mantle to say that this is yet one other thing I've accomplished. You know, and do we really want to have? Yeah, do we really want to have someone like that being our president? Someone who's going to see himself as king, the rest of the politicians as the oligarchy, and the rest of the American people as the serfs.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when Ronald Reagan spoke from West Berlin and stood up and said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." How long did it take for that wall to come down? It did not take very long.
About a year, I think.
Yeah, about a year, if that long. And Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney did not want to debate Newt Gingrich.
No, not at all. No, he turned it down in Texas.
When he and Newt got on the stage in the debates that they did have, Newt made ground beef out of him. And do you think Mitt Romney will do that to Barack Obama?
No.
Hell no.
No, I don't think so.
Mitt Romney will have his teleprompter there because you know he'll have the questions in advance, what he's going to be asked. He will have his little script writers write out all of his little responses. Do you think they're going to let the President of the United States come on to a debate without having a scripted response?
Well, and think about it. If they have a debate, if those two debate, and they got to vote, and they got to, you know, show a contrast between their true principles, and I'm not talking about the principles that, you know, Mitt Romney has been trying to get people to believe, okay, is their true principles. And I think that one thing that I think Obama's going to bring up, and this is something the Republicans need to remember, okay, when they want to start saying, you know, that we're for Obama and that we're not really conservatives because we were, you know, we'd want to, you know, we, you know, get back behind the party line and, you know, party before principles. This is not something I think that, you know, the listeners, and I'm talking about the listeners to the debate on, you know, the watchers who's going to watch a debate between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, if that happens. I think they're going to throw these words of Mitt Romney into his face.
Oh, exactly.
Romney's all-day bus tour made a stop in Worcester this afternoon, where supporters gathered to cheer him on and rally the troops to get out the vote. Voter turnout is expected to decide this race, with a large turnout expected to help Romney. With that in mind, the campaign has set up 38 phone banks and targeted 150,000 undecided and unenrolled voters to receive phone calls. Many Democrats say a tie in the polls gives the edge to Shannon O'Brien because she has that statewide organization, including union and minority support. But the Romney campaign says that support is overrated and is eroding. They point to the recent endorsement from El Mundo, the largest Spanish-speaking newspaper in the state.
I think the old, you know, standby definitions of who votes for which party have been blown away in this campaign. I think people recognize that I'm not a partisan Republican, that I'm someone who is moderate, and that my views are progressive, and that I'm going to go to work for our senior citizens, for people who've been left behind by urban schools that are not doing the right job, and so they're going to vote for me regardless of the party label.
Indeed, folks. Indeed, in his own words. I am a moderate, and I am a progressive. What
Amen.
Does that tell you? Not my words, but his
words.
That was straight from the horse's mouth.
Amen, John.
Because how can you go around bragging about, well, they had Romney up here in just north of Dayton yesterday, and they had all over the news, so it was like no use to even watch the news or anything. But I guess they had John Boehner there and Rob Portman. And I don't know how many people was there, but they got off the bus. I was watching the news today. They just showed a clip of it. They all got off the bus. They got up on stage, and they were all wearing blue jeans, dressing unprofessionally. If you look at Newt, when he would go out and everything, he was wearing a suit every single time he makes a speech or appearance or anything. He was dressed professionally.
Agreed,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, if you have a clip of that, email it to me. I'd really like to see it. Unfortunately, I missed that.
Because we can't afford having another president there wearing mom's jeans like what we had in there. Yeah. I said that same exact thing to my father. He's like, well, he started laughing too, because I told him, well, look at them. They're like triplets. They're all the same. Wearing mom's jeans on a campaign trail, unprofessionally dressed. And I told my father,
he's trying to do is he's trying to make himself look like he's of the people.
Uh huh. And he's not.
He's not.
Nope. He's part of that 1% he keeps going around bragging about. And Sammy and Robert, I know you guys watched the debates and stuff. How many times did he actually say private sector every single time he opened up his mouth on any question up there on the stage? It was like you had to have a clicker to keep track of how many times he said that. That's just like Obama with and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and even when he's in the private sector, there's some question on you know, his questionable methods on his practices. You know, some of the ways that bank capital, and let me make this disclaimer to the listeners, okay? I'm not anti-capitalist. I love capitalism, okay? I think it's the best system in the world, okay? But I do see where there could have been some events in Romney's career where he could have been probably considered guilty of vulture capitalism. That's
Agreed.
How I view it. You know, that's how I view it. So I think that's definitely could be considered.
Agreed, 100%, Robert. And hey, Robert, in that little last clip that you just played
about him saying, "Yeah, he's a progressive,
yeah,
a moderate, and, yeah."
If you can send that to me, I would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, and then the first one I played, which I'm actually looking to play that one again for the new listeners coming in who might have not come in earlier on the show. But, yeah, I could go ahead and send you the clips of that.
Okay. Well, tonight I'm getting ready to get off your show right now because I got to put my phone back on the charger so it'll be fully charged for my show. But, Robert,
sure. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much.
You're doing an awesome job. Sean is doing an awesome job. And, Sean, let me tell you, please post your shows on my walls because you're getting about 12,000 people that are seeing it just off my pages.
All right.
Yeah, there's one of your pages I think I miss, but, I'll have to get by on that one as well.
And well, you posted on my main page, which I don't know. I thought Facebook was 5,000 friends. They say I have 5,400 and some odd friends.
I think what they do is, Sammy, I think like after you get at 5,000, I think after that they start having like, you're not on the friends list, but they subscribe to your page.
Okay, that's probably what it is.
As a friend, that's what I've seen that quite a bit on there.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I kind of thought that, Sean, but I wasn't sure. But I mean, I was told a few months ago that they were going to be raising up the friends level up to 10,000, but it hadn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're sitting at about 13,000 people. I think didn't I add you to my main page the other night, Sean?
Yeah, I'm on all of them.
Yeah, you're on all four of them. Okay, and you're welcome to post your show on my pages. Because I thought I already told you that before, but maybe I didn't.
Robert, I'm going to have to let you go because my phone battery is about ready to die. So thanks for having me on your show, and I'll try to call in a little bit later on, Sam.
And you can find... Okay, great. Thank you very much,
Jeff. Bye-bye.
Take care. Talk to you later.
I will stay on for a few more minutes since Sean had to leave. Do you have any other callers online right now?
No, not right now. I have... I believe Rex is going to be calling in later. If you got things that you got to do, Sammy, that's fine. I get at the top of the hour. I'm going to in a couple minutes. I'm going to replay the clip that you're asking me about that I played at the top of the show because I think it bears worth listening again to the people who have just come into the show or haven't or missed the first 15 minutes of it. I've got. Some clips I can play that I think will, bear listening.
Okay, and I just want to tell the listeners out there, this is Sam Sanford, Sammy Sanford, Samuel Sanford, and please call into Robert's show. He needs your support.
Well, I appreciate that, Sam. Thank you. Yeah, I definitely like to, talk to people, and that's what these shows are about, is to get... not necessarily all my, my words and information out, but I like to have other people's words and information out as well.
Amen. Well, Robert, I mean, I really hate to hang up, but I need to charge
my
cell phone.
That's fine. I appreciate you calling in. You have a good night, and I'm sure I'll be talking to you later on this evening.
We'll be talking to you in an hour or two. God bless you, and God bless the USA.
Take care, Sammy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yep, as you said, that was Samuel Sanford. He, you can find him also on Blog Talk Radio, Constitutional Conservatism. You can also find him on the Facebook app, Newt Now. That's one word. All you got to do is go into Facebook search engine and type in Newt Now. It's one word, and you'll see a list there of different shows and times, and you just click that, and that'll send you to the link to the show. Now, what I was referring to earlier is I played a clip about Mitt Romney and why the quote that I read earlier, which I'll read again as well, is really relevant to what is going on and why the conservatives, well, there are many conservatives who just will not support nor vote for nor get behind Mitt Romney. And the quote I said earlier was from George William Curtis, and he was actually one of the founders of the Republican Party. Now, one thing that people might not know is that in 1871, he was appointed by President Grant as a chairman on a commission to report on the reforms of the civil service. But that's not really, I mean, that's just to show that he's done a lot of things for the Republican Party, and that's just one of them. But more importantly, and I think at least for the content of this show, is that what he did in 1884, that was actually the date I was looking for, trying to remember, is that he actually refused, and this is one of the founders of the Republican Party, refused to support the nominee of James Elaine as candidate for president. And he actually broke with the Republican Party, which he was a founder and leader of, okay? And then it, became an independent. So that being said, I think that he would be very disappointed in Mitt Romney, okay? And as I played earlier, and I shall play again because I think it bears repeating why some of that is. So sit back, relax, enjoy the clip, and if you agree, please feel free to call in. But almost more importantly, if you don't agree, so we can have a lively discussion, you can call in. At, but oh, I almost gave my number. Area code 347-945-7428. I look forward to speak with people who agree or disagree. If you think that we need to start the rally behind Mitt Romney, you're more than welcome to call in and let us know why, and we could discuss it in a civil way. But here's the clip I'm telling people.
I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
Who is this guy? Can you trust him?
I have never supported the President's Recovery Act, all right, the stimulus. No time, nowhere, no how.
I think there is need for economic stimulus.
You're only allowed a certain number of flips before people begin to doubt your character.
The big issue with Mitt Romney has been the issue of abortion. Mm-hmm. Has he flip-flopped on abortion?
I will preserve and protect a woman's right to choose.
The right next step in the fight to preserve the sanctity of life is to see Roe v. Wade overturned.
He was pro-choice, then he's pro-life.
Or he flip-flops again, just like he did on abortion, just like he did on Ronald Reagan.
Look, I was an independent during the time of Reagan-Bush. I'm not trying to return to Reagan-Bush.
The principles that Ronald Reagan espoused are as true today as they were when he spoke them.
There you go again.
In 1985, I helped found a company. I learned how America competes with companies in other countries.
The money he has that he didn't inherit is what he made as a private equity mogul, shutting down companies, liquidating their assets, and firing their American workers.
I think you'll find that I've been as consistent as human beings can be.
If you're looking for someone who's never changed any positions on any policies, then I'm not your guy.
I think Americans just don't know sometimes which Mitt Romney they're dealing with.
The new cover of Time magazine today asks the question, why don't they like me?
Mitt Romney spends little to no time doing interviews on the TV, whereas the other candidates are working the Sunday news show circuit like a politician running for president.
Romney often bypassing reporters on the rope line
Remember earlier this year how Romney got $1 million donation from an organization that just suddenly ceased to exist the next day?
It's really someone wanting to give Romney the money while staying in the shadows.
Mitt Romney stealing all of Barack Obama's big dollar Wall Street donors.
A good chunk of his funds came from his buddies on Wall Street, like Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Bank of America.
To get that kind of money, you've got to cozy up as an incumbent to all of the special interest groups who can go out and raise money for you from their members. That kind of relationship has an influence on the way you're going to vote.
But look, I'm not going to spend my time going after Ben Bernanke. I'm not going to take my effort and focus on the Federal Reserve.
Should the chairman of the Federal Reserve be appointed again?
I think he's doing a good job.
You do?
Yes, I do. And I think it's important to have the Fed as an independent agency. I do not think you want to have the Congress of the United States trying to pull strings at the Fed.
He physically, personality-wise, comes across as if he was designed by East German scientists to be the perfect android politician.
I thought it was such a disastrous interview for Mitt Romney.
Romney's donations and lobbyists actually come to more than all of his GOP counterparts combined.
Do you really want this cat to be president?
Romney can't win. He's dead in the water.
Well, that's what we did in Massachusetts, and that is we put together an exchange, and the president's copying that idea. I'm glad to hear that. Obamacare is bad news, and if I'm president of the United States, I will repeal it. I don't think I've ever hired an illegal in my life. We hired a lawn company to mow our lawn. And they had illegal immigrants that were working there.
Flip-flop myth.
But I believe the world is getting warmer. I believe that humans contribute to that.
My view is that we don't know what's causing climate change on this planet.
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper who changes position because of political expedience.
If Republicans didn't like Mitt Romney's position on the so-called union-busting proposal in Ohio, all they had to do is wait one day before he changed it.
I'm not speaking about the particular ballot issues.
But by today, Romney had a different answer.
I fully support Governor Kasich's, I think it's called Question 2 in Ohio.
He's changed his position on a number of issues.
Republican Mitt Romney says he will not sign a no new taxes pledge.
I'm proud to be the only major candidate for president to sign the tax pledge.
Your view has changed so dramatically.
I just signed a piece of legislation extending the ban on certain assault weapons.
I do not support any new legislation of an assault weapon ban nature.
Experts are predicting kind of a tough fight between Romney and his biggest ideological opponent, Mitt Romney from 4 years ago. Those guys don't agree on anything.
And there are two Mitt Romneys.
This guy has played both sides of the fence with equal fervor.
The TARP got paid back, and it kept the financial system from collapsing.
So you feel it was well worth it?
Well, it was the right thing to do. TARP ought to be ended. TARP ought to be ended.
Mitt Romney flip-flopped again. He's trying to take credit for saving the auto industry.
I'm not willing to sit back and say too bad for Michigan, too bad for the fans of the car industry.
After he proposed letting the auto industry die.
That's exactly what I said. Let Detroit go bankrupt. Let Detroit go bankrupt.
You're only allowed a certain number of flips before people begin to doubt your character.
I think people understand that I'm a man of steadiness and constancy.
This guy, can you trust him?
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper who changes position. He's changed his position on a number of issues.
The mixed messages are what did it.
Some people are going to see those changes of mind as awfully politically convenient.
It's an issue of character.
The core issues for a man, as you said earlier, who doesn't seem to have a core.
I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
There are a lot of reasons not to elect me. I'd like to ask you to just...
Okay, folks, I did it again. I thought it was over, but it wasn't. I wasn't watching the timer. But yes, but now I want to take the opportunity to read the quote from George Curtis again and tie that in. He says, "A man's country is not a certain area of land, of mountains, rivers, and woods, but it is a principle, and patriotism is the loyalty to that principle." Okay, that is why, as in the title of this show, okay, principle or party. Because what the GOP establishment, the RNC, other Republicans are asking us to support, and what I mean by us, the conservatives, to support a candidate that, illustrated by the clip you just listened to, does not espouse our conservative position, our ideals. So what they are asking us, to go ahead and put our party, which is the Republican Party, which some of us, or a lot of us, believe that the party has left us by leaving those conservative ideals. And they're asking us to put the party in front of our principles. And that is something that I believe the Republican Party has done for far too long. And it's time to stop, or else there could be no turning back. What I mean by no turning back is that the moderates of the party will so marginalize the conservatives in the Republican Party that they can come to us and say, we don't need you anymore. And the the moderates are so close to the liberals and to the Democrats that if we conservatives allow the Republicans in the person of Mitt Romney to go ahead and be the nominee to represent us, then I think the conservatives do it at their own peril. And not just the conservatives, the Republican Party. You know, but when the RNC says the Republican Party has never been so united, they're wrong. That is not the case. They are not united. If the Republican Party was so united, then they would not have groups such as this and shows such as this, you know, out there. And there's so many of them. There are so many of them out there. And what we feel like is really we're trying to be pushed to support Romney. And, you know, we just don't want to hold our noses any longer. Okay, we need to have someone such as Newt Gingrich to be the party leader. Because for one of those reasons, we feel like that only someone like Newt Gingrich could defeat Barack Obama. Okay, but that's why, you know, when you listen to the show, you hear us call each other patriot, because by definition, I believe that that's exactly what the people out there who are fighting against the establishment are. They're patriots. You know, much like, in my opinion, okay, the way the American settlers, okay, you know, were to England, okay, they stayed loyal to their principles, of freedom, and told England, no more. And that is what the conservatives are saying to the Republican Party now, no more. We are not going to do this again. We've done it too much. It's too important of a time for us to allow a moderate such as Romney, and he is, no matter what you hear from Fox News or Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or any of them, they're not. And that's why people are upset with them as well, because they gave up on their principles, okay? Because you hear, you know, Rush Limbaugh, oh, I'm a conservative first and a Republican second. Really? Then why on the day of the Florida election you say that the only candidate that has not made a discretion against conservatism was Rick Santorum? And that's not true. That is not true. Okay? Newt Gingrich also. Now, there might have been things where always sat on the couch, but you got to take – it's been taken out of context. And there's been times when, you know, you've seen Rick Santorum, you know, clapping hands at, you know, some person from, you know, an abortion – not an abortion rally, but I'll look more into that. But I can't exactly recall that. But someone who might be able to, that I see is on the line, I believe this is Rex, so I think I'll take this opportunity to bring him in. If he doesn't bring it up, then perhaps give me some time to look it up myself. So let me check this, see if it's who I think it is. Is this Rex?
Well, I'm very sorry to disappoint you.
No, I don't have. I've seen that Rex said that he was going to be coming in. Rex said that he was going to be coming in, and he did not. But I guess he's still eating. But
well,
I don't have the people's. I don't have the people's area code down pat yet.
It's okay,
so,
then I'll let you slide.
Only a couple people. So what did you hear what I was talking about?
Something's really funky with I don't know if it's my computer or if it's blog radio, because my sound just all of a sudden went, and then when I called in, it came back. So I missed the chunk.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
You know, they've been having. And what way did you? Well, you can tell in the chat which way that you came in, because
the link went directly, which was much smoother than going through. I hate to say it until that glitch has worked up, and going through Newt now.
Really? Okay. Yeah, it's definitely some more. Well, because you could get in, it's just there's some chat trouble. But that's something we could discuss off air.
Right.
But because there are definitely some technical bugs that need to be worked out, but.
I just want to alert you, too.
But what Mark is working on can have a really great impact, when all the bugs get worked out.
Right.
Anyway, do you recall what I'm speaking of about Rick Santorum? I can't get off the top of my head when Rush Limbaugh was saying that the only person who has not made a transgression against conservatism was Rick Santorum. From my understanding, Rick Santorum was at some kind of, campaign or something of that nature. And he was, clapping all around with, along with them, and it had something to do with abortion. I knew that. Or is that some rally maybe at a Planned Parenthood or
it
something like that?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I really don't know a lot about it.
I can't recall that. It shames me to think that, but if any of the listeners out there like to call and chime in and educate my ignorance on that, which...
However, I don't know what the discussion prior to that is, but I know that there is some thinking out there that in some ways Rick Santorum was a plan to detract voters from Newt Gingrich's campaign.
To split the conservative vote. Some speculate that would be that's what they were wanting to do, is split the conservative vote.
I think based on what Rex wrote in the chat that he was at a rally supporting Specter, and that actually came up during the campaign. That's right.
Oh, okay. Is that a rally? Yeah, Arlen Specter, and through my understanding, Arlen Specter was an abortion supporter.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, while I'm thinking about it, and actually, there's a book I like to mention when the abortion issue comes up, even in reference, is that, because I collect books, I love to read, and the author is Scott Klusendorf. And you spell his last name Klusendorf. And the book is named The Case for Life. So it's an excellent book, and what it does, it argues against abortion in a reasonable way. It uses a lot of logic, and, of course, that's why I like it.
Right, but so what to you is a reasonable argument?
Well, one of the, whether he takes it on all the different stance. Like what he does is he takes what the certain arguments against abortion are. He takes the arguments for abortion, okay, and through reason, okay, he refutes what they say. Like uses, scientific evidence, psychological evidence, things of that nature.
In other words, it's more of a fact-based argument than based on emotion and religion.
Right. Well, it's interesting because it's in part, well, part of the title is religious. It's called, let me look here. And It says equipping. It says on the top, it says equipping Christians to engage the culture. Now, when I refute abortion, I don't do it in the context of religion for many reasons. One of which is that not everyone is religious, so using a religious argument will have no bearings on someone.
You
who want
to
is
appeal
not religious.
to a wider audience.
Exactly, and you want to, because reason can appeal to almost anyone, because everyone has the capacity to reason. That's one of the things that makes us human.
It's also less threatening, I think.
To some, yeah, definitely. And I mean, I actually, one of my minors in college is I was a peace studies minor, and we had a capstone course called the Challenge of Peace. We got to write a research paper of any topic that we wanted to do, and I did my paper on abortion, but the paper had to be somewhere within the sphere of violence and nonviolence. Okay? And so the paper that I did was abortion and nonviolence, abortion as an issue of violence. You know, so violence against women and the most innocent. That was the title of the paper, Violence Against Women and the Most Innocent. But I ain't got an A on the paper. But that being said, but what I did is I used reason, I used psychological studies for my in my research, and I did my own survey. I created a survey, and collected data from the survey, because what I wanted to prove, and this show isn't about, abortion, or it's not about, it's about principles and loyalty to those principles being the definition of patriotism. But, so it's not really about that. So, I could probably save that for another day. I don't want to digress into, or diverge into a different topic. So, but which the abortion issues, I'm sure you well know, can definitely consume a conversation.
And a campaign, apparently.
Well, yeah, it is a big issue. In the campaign, well, not so much. Not in this year's campaign. The flip-flops of Romney definitely have, and I think that really...
Well, it's in our conversation. It's not in everyone's.
Right. And it shows... how he's flip-flopped, and he hasn't stayed true to conservative principles.
Somebody asked an interesting question last night in the chat, in Sammy's chat.
Mm-hmm.
About
what was the question?
I think this is actually a common question I hear, that what are conservative values? What is a conservative? I think that there's a range there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see right now, somewhat of a split.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would you define conservatism?
I'm such a novice at this because, as you know, I'm still a registered Democrat.
Well, there was a gentleman they called in some nights ago, and I'd really like for the gentleman to call back again, where he said he was actually a conservative Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds like you.
I consider myself. And there's a fine line here, more of a constitutionalist.
Okay.
Because of those principles that are inscribed in our Constitution. And once you violate that principle in any sense of the word, is that what you would define a conservative as, or...
Well,
you violate everybody's rights on all sides, conservative, non-conservatives, because you know how strongly I feel that there's no such thing as justice as it relates to social justice.
Right.
That to me is a complete oxymoron, because then you're deciding on one social group over another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, justice is supposed to be blind. I mean, unfortunately in society, even within the legal system, we know that's not true, because there's, well, look at Romney. I mean, it looks like he's, you know, it appears that he might have done something illegal when it comes to the voting, and I'm talking about, the sub story up in Wisconsin, where people are saying he was giving out subs to try to get people to vote. And also, this is just a very short clip that I want to, you know, I got here that I like to put out to kind of illustrate, you know, some of the chicanery that was used in the primary. And you might be familiar with this. You might have heard this clip before. But for the listeners who have not, then I think it's, you know, worth listening to. It's only about a minute. So, but let me know if you've heard this. And now let me do a little disclaimer. This was actually on the day of the New York primary, and this was before either Ron Paul or Newt Gingrich suspended their campaigns. This was during.
This is the one I was circulating, right, from the RNC chair.
Could very well
in Rockland County.
Well. Yep, and exactly.
I have it still on my computer. I saved it.
Yep. But to the listeners who might not have heard it, this is when Newt was doing the big push in Delaware and in New York, and there's two, I'll play the clip and then I'll explain what happened afterwards.
Okay.
And this is indicative where I think that Mitt Romney and his support, you know, not the supporters, I'm not talking about your general supporters like, you know, the Republican electorate. I'm talking about, you know, his surrogates. So that's who I'm talking about.
Hello, this is Rockland County Republican Chairman Vincent Rita calling to remind you that tomorrow, April 24th, is primary day in New York. It is imperative that us Republicans get out to vote and support Mitt Romney for president. Even though the other candidates have dropped out of the race, it is imperative that we show we are united behind the one man that could beat Barack Obama in November. So please, get your families and friends and fellow Republicans out to vote and support Mitt Romney for president tomorrow, April 24th. Polls are open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Please make every effort to get out and support Mitt Romney for president. Thank you.
Exactly.
That was
Exactly. Now, I was incorrect in saying it was the day of. It was the day before, which actually gave it even greater impact. And the New York voter turnout was 78% less than it was in 2008.
Well, as a New Yorker, I can't tell you how that infuriates me.
Right. And that was done, you know, there. I'm sure there's other chicanery that was being perpetrated in the other states.
Well, I know someone who worked the primaries in New York, and she told me, and it's in a relatively populated area, that 8 people showed up all day.
Right.
There are one of two reasons for that. They got one of those robocalls, maybe not from Vince Rada, someone else, depending on the area, because he was, that was Rockland County. They got one of those calls, or they got the message, the false message from mainstream media, which includes the so-called conservative media, such as Fox, and all the conservative radio stations. And they got the very false message that basically their only choice that they had was Romney. And almost everyone I spoke to here in New York who is conservative or Republican, or not one person I spoke to was in favor of Romney. But several of the people I spoke to had told me, and this was before the election, before the primaries, right before, they thought, they were under the impression their only choice was Romney. So that message got out loud and clear. It was a very effective narrative.
Right. And then shortly after that primary day, Newt Gingrich suspended his campaign. And that drives me nuts.
I was in Delaware, too, right after that. So.
Right. And it drives me nuts, okay, when you hear, even Sean Hannity's been doing it, about dropping out of the race. It's purposeful. That's what I'm saying, chicanery. It is purposeful for them to use the words dropped out. Because when you say dropped out, what do you think? They're out.
Absolutely a connotation that goes hand in hand with that. You know, I was just watching.
And you can still get votes and win delegates even though you're suspended. Look at McCain last cycle. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just watching, what is it called again? Right Online. You
mm-hmm.
know how they had that, what was it? Not a convention, over the past few days.
I'm not familiar, I'm sorry.
You're not, Sarah Palin was there. It was all bloggers. Project of Americans for Prosperity Foundation. And,
oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah,
in
I'm
Las
familiar.
Vegas?
Yeah, I'm familiar, okay.
And it was very disconcerting that, you know, I mean, some of the speeches were wonderful. Palin's speech was absolutely wonderful. Michelle Malcolm's. But then they're also in the same breath while they're saying how avant-garde that they've been and how that it's changed what they call the new media, or the right and the wrong media.
Mm-hmm.
Has changed the whole climate of media and the whole narrative for people getting information. But in the same breath, which I find really disturbing, in the same breath, they're still promoting, I'm sorry, this is how I feel, you know, and I'm entitled to my individual opinion, still promoting, talking about Rush Limbaugh and putting them into the same category, the Rush Limbaughs, the Sean Hannitys,
mm-hmm.
the David Levines, all of whom I feel extremely betrayed by, that they turn their back on the public, that they compromise their values and ethics, and they are not real journalists anymore as a result.
Right, exactly. They compromise.
And here's the same so-called alternate media that we're going to, you know, like Michelle Malcolm, in Breitbart's name, Breitbart.com, in his name,
mm-hmm.
but not doing justice to his name, who has not vetted Mitt Romney, not one iota. You know,
they're making the same mistake with Mitt Romney. Here's the thing, Mitt Romney will be vetted.
Because they're becoming part of the establishment now.
Right.
And here
right.
they are representing us. And here they are on stage touting how, you know, avant-garde and what pioneers they are within this, you know, field. And they really were. And something happened. And you know what dawned on me today? And I know, you know, this almost from it felt like almost a spiritual epiphany. Because, you know, I know that in Judaism differs vastly in this sense from Christianity, that we do believe that we can fulfill the commandments and that the Bible is supposed to be a tool. The Torah is the tool to give you the tools to live a life that is more righteous, more ethical, more and brings you closer, that you can fulfill that. Once you start deviating from that book, just like once you start deviating from the Constitution. The epiphany was is that we, I'm getting a little sidetracked. The epiphany was is we really all are susceptible to corruption, that we can never assume and put ourselves above it, that we need a guide. That's why we have the checks and balances. That's why. But that's why you see the conservative media that at one time was a voice for the people, that really did journalism, that really investigated, that really reported instead of made the news. Because if you don't have a guide, and the irony is, I'm going to say, and cling to that guide.
The paradigm is about to change, I think. That the paradigm is about to change. No longer, okay, it's gonna be a while. It's going to take some time, okay? But there's going to be a time when no longer are the people of this country going to be getting, you know, the news that they count on, at least when it comes to politics.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, based on, you know, Fox News, you know, CNN, CNBC, or even you know, radio talk shows. I think the internet.
There are some of these new medias that started out with all the good intentions, that were real journalists, really reporting honestly the truth. Sometimes putting themselves at risk, but they are becoming part of that establishment now.
Well, what I think the forums like this, like Blog Talk Radio, where it's going to be different and it's going to change the paradigm on how people get their information about politics, okay, and maybe even the world. And this is why, you know, it is so important that the government doesn't get their hands on the internet, okay, in any way. It's because one of the things, at least to this show, and I know Sammy's show and Mark's show, you know, one thing we promote is do the research yourself. If you don't believe what I said, go ahead. We don't try to say we got the whole truth. We'll give you things to get, you know, we'll give you little snippets here for your people to do the research for themselves and say, look, this is what we've seen. Go look for it on yourself. We're not trying to put ourselves up, you know, like Rush Limbaugh does, you know, as a person who, you know, is the stalwart of conservatism, when we know that's not true, you know. So
that's why I really believe that when I say, you know, where is the line with conservatism? Because there's so many things I agree with. There's some things I don't, but that doesn't. But I think most Americans, if we stop trying to define ourselves just exclusively by a party, you know, that's almost a label that somebody else gave to us, and we're, you know, buying into it. We really, most of us want the same things. We all want opportunities. We all want equal opportunities. We want our friends and our family to do well, to succeed. We want to be able to have the opportunity. I mean, I can't even fathom ever. I've never lived in a house. And I can't fathom, especially now, you know, ever having the opportunity in my life to have my own little piece of land with, you know, where I don't have to answer to a landlord or be quiet about, you know, what time I want to vacuum my house even.
Mm-hmm.
And we all want the same thing, I think, you know, fundamentally. And we have to start coming together as Americans and stop dividing. Right? I think sometimes when we put these labels on, they become more divisive.
Well, I understand in part where you're speaking, but you know, just compromise isn't always, in my opinion, I think compromise isn't always a good thing, and I think that's why Newt Gingrich was so successful. Is, you know, when he was the Democrat president,
but I didn't
think
the compromise with fundamental values. I'm saying that you stick to the principle. That you need the principle as a guide to keep you on the straight and narrow. And the principle is our American Constitution.
Right, but unfortunately, not everyone believes in the principles of the Constitution. And a lot of the liberal folks, and even moderate folks, don't believe it. They don't adhere to it.
I'm not sure that they all realize what's going on. I think that's because the narrative is so twisted.
Well, no, I agree with that. There's definitely, yeah, there's definitely a lot of people out there who are just uninformed, or even worse, misinformed, purposely misinformed. I mean, I think that's why there's so many people out there that think Romney really is a conservative, because they've been purposely misinformed. By Fox News and
they're
that.
Not doing their homework, unfortunately, on their own.
Well, no, they're not, and I think that's one of the reasons why you know, Mark's out there, I'm here, Sammy's out there. You know, that's what we're trying to do. You know, and I just want to touch on something that I love. You got a little soundbite here of Mitt Romney, because we were mentioning, what he's talking about. What he's talking about here is the contract with America. And the reason why I bring this up is when we're talking about what Newt was able to get done. See, you know, when Newt was able to get done with a, you know, Democrat president by not giving up their principles. You know what I mean? I mean,
but, and I am not, and I don't want you to mistake what I said, but I am not advocating giving up the principles.
No, I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying that, you know, when people talk about, you know, coming together, a lot of times when they talk about coming together, they talk about compromise. You know, and that's what the Republicans are asking us to do. As conservatives, they're asking us to compromise our principles, okay, and hold our noses once again for a moderate candidate. And but you don't have to compromise like Newt Gingrich did. I mean, he got conservative ideals passed and ideas passed with a Democrat president. You know,
but we also know that this is not just compromising for a moderate candidate. This is a progressive candidate.
Well, in his own words, and you're right, and I played a little clip of that earlier, in his own words, he's a progressive. But let me, this is, got a little soundbite here, you know, that I want to play. I think that is relevant to, you know, what we're talking about.
Let me tell you, in my view, it is not a good idea to go into a contract like what was organized by the Republican Party in Washington, laying out a whole series of things which the party said, these are the things we're going to do. I think that's a mistake. I think instead that if you want to get something done in Washington, you don't end up picking teams with Republicans on one side and Democrats on the other, entering into a contract and saying, okay, we're all going to do this, and then, of course, that works, then the other side feels like they're the loser. But if it wins, they feel like the winner. I don't like winners and losers in Washington. I'd rather say let's get together and work together.
Winners and losers in Washington, not telling the people what they're going to do. Okay, that's what the Contract America was about. You tell the American people this is, I mean, how much has the American people been thirsting for that? For a politician to say this is what we're going to do, and they're going to do it without compromising on their principles. Okay, but you see, that's not what he wants to do. He wants to get. It sounds like he wants to go ahead and give in to, you know, he wants to give in to the Democrats. And as you said, you know, progressive. And he's even said in his own word that he's progressive. So you know what I mean?
That's actually exactly what Sarah Palin was talking about in her speech on Right Online. About not compromising that. How they need to stand up. Or maybe it was Michelle Malcolm. No, I'm getting, I don't remember.
Well, it sounds like something more palatable to the Malcolm, because from my understanding, Malcolm's been supporting Romney now.
That's interesting.
Well, yeah, I think, I can't remember exactly what it was, and I should probably go ahead and look that up. But from my understanding, she didn't have some nice things to say about Newt Gingrich. But, you know, I mean, but, you know, I don't have any authoritative information on that, so I'll let that one go right now. But it does bear looking into. But no, but that's what I think the Republican Party is wanting us to do. They want us to compromise once again, okay, hold our noses once again, and put party over principles once again. And I feel like for the not just the conservatives, but for America, it's, you know, it's not going to work this time. It shouldn't work this time. We need to have a brokered convention in order so we could get a conservative, and where, if you look at history, only a conservative can beat, you know, the incumbent president. Look at Ronald Reagan, you know, beating Jimmy Carter. We need the same scenario, you know, today for Newt Gingrich to beat Obama.
We need someone who loves this country, who cares about the exceptional values and constitution that we have that made this country exceptional and stands apart from any of the rest, because we are in a really dangerous time. I don't know if you heard about the fundraiser that was basically fundraising for Hamas that they had in Fort Lauderdale, and I'd be really interested to do some research on the Hilton to see if they have any kind of ties with Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, you know, who they're owned by corporately, because they've been hosting these events for quite some time. And meanwhile, are you familiar with Pamela Geller?
Who?
Pamela Geller.
Pamela Geller?
She was pivotal in fighting against the mosque to be put down in Wall Street.
Okay, yeah, across from 9/11 or very close.
She's
by.
Been she's written several books, and anyway, when she's tried to have events, they've tried to cancel her at the Hilton. But anyway, they had a big fundraiser yesterday in Fort Lauderdale, and there's an organization that they had like 100 people rallying against it, if you go online too. But this is really concerning to me, and this is growing. And if we don't have somebody who loves this country and understands what's going on and wants to keep our country and maintain the exceptionalism that we've enjoyed, it's called the United West.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch the whole thing. But this is a new buzzword, is modern Muslims.
Right, I'm familiar.
Which is the new narrative
And that might be something, that might be another, you know, topic for, you know, another time. That modern Muslims, yeah, I've actually studied some, in my peace studies courses, one of the classes I studied was global Islamic politics. And,
well, I mean, I'm bringing it in because I think that it does have some validity in this discussion, because these are the values we need in a president. We need someone who understands what's happening right now, who has that historical sense like Newt Gingrich does.
Well, right, but I mean, and I agree with that. We also need somebody who's got, you know, we need somebody who has principles and doesn't sound like, you know, the person that they're running against. And that being said, I've got like 12 minutes left, and I'd like to close out the, the show. I mean, it's still going to go on, but I want to play a clip here. It's about 10 minutes. That's why I want to hurry up and squeeze it in. We only have like 11 minutes left. To close out, you know, about principles and how Romney and Obama, when it comes to that, are pretty much sound the same.
I want universal coverage. I want everyone in Massachusetts and this country to have insurance.
Now we're saying, everybody come on in.
Everybody in? Nobody out. Universal health care plan. That's what I'd like to see.
We're also going to make sure people can't be denied on the basis of pre-existing illness.
It will be against the law for insurance companies to deny you coverage because of a pre-existing condition.
For those people who are low income and can't afford insurance, we need to make sure that all people, not just corporations, can deduct on a tax basis the cost of their premiums.
Now, for those individuals and small businesses who still can't afford the lower priced insurance available in the exchange, we'll provide tax credits. Individuals will be required to carry basic health insurance, just as most states require you to carry auto insurance.
And if you don't want to buy insurance, then you have to help pay for the cost of the state picking up your bill, because under federal law, if someone doesn't have insurance, then we have to care for them in the hospitals, give them free care. So we said no more. No more free riders.
And you can't be a free rider on everybody else. You can't not have health insurance, then go to the emergency room.
And, you know, we took that on in Massachusetts. We decided we wanted to get everybody insured. We've done that. I understand that the president considers his plan in some respects following the model of Massachusetts. Let's learn from our experience.
In fact, I agree with Mitt Romney, who recently said he's proud of what he accomplished on health care.
I support background checks for people who are going into a store or whatever and buying a weapon. I want them to have a background check and make
but
sure
you stand by your
make
support
sure,
of the Brady
to make sure that the crazies don't buy guns.
Because we can make certain that those who are mentally deranged are not getting hold of handguns.
Law-abiding private United States citizens.
Law-abiding gun owners all across America.
That this administration has systematically imposed the toughest sanctions on Iraq, on Iran ever.
We're going to put a lot tougher sanctions on Iran, economic sanctions, credit sanctions.
And applying the toughest sanctions that Iran's ever experienced.
Put in place crippling sanctions against Iran.
The one thing I can say with certainty is that we are going to need to see a stimulus package passed.
He's talking about a $700, $750 billion economic stimulus package. He wants it to be passed as soon as possible. What do you think about this proposal?
I think there is need for economic stimulus, and government can help make that up in a very difficult time, and that's one of the reasons why I think a stimulus program is needed.
And I think it was the right action to take. I know a lot of my fellow conservatives aren't happy with me that I supported the plan. I don't call it a bailout. I call it a rescue plan.
The Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP.
That was an investment made to try and keep a collapse of our entire financial system from occurring. And I think that's the case. I think had Ben Bernanke not pushed for a TARP-type program, we were going to be in a free fall. The TARP program kept that from occurring.
So you feel it was well worth it?
Well, it was the right thing to do.
Okay. These targeted initiatives are right, and they are needed.
TARP was the right thing to do. The president ultimately did what I suggested. The president ultimately did what I suggested.
President Obama's jobs bill, he wants to create jobs in part by investing lots of money in infrastructure development. Are you with him on that?
Well, infrastructure enhancement in this country is a positive way to long-term improve the job prospects in America.
We must engage contractors across the nation to create jobs rebuilding our crumbling roads, bridges.
We have thousands and thousands of structurally deficient bridges. We have roads that are in terrible disrepair. But I'm in favor of the line of veto. I exercised it 844 times. Thank heavens we have the line of veto, and I'd like to see it at the federal government level as well. We need it.
President Obama says that he has a plan to control government spending, though. It is his version of a line item veto, and the plan would allow a president to strike individual items from the bill, send it back to Congress to get an up or down vote on that.
That is why I urge the prompt and favorable consideration of this proposal and look forward to working with the Congress on this matter in the coming weeks. Signed, Barack Obama, the White House.
What kind of job is Ben Bernanke doing right now? The guy's depreciating the dollar. We're seeing this huge inflation of energy prices, including gasoline prices at the pump. What do you think of Ben Bernanke?
Well, you know, I think Ben Bernanke is a student of monetary policy.
Yeah, but the falling dollar is absolutely crucial to many of the things that ail us. You know, the consumer price index is jumping.
No
people
question
are furious
no
at the rise in gasoline.
No question.
Not all Bernanke,
but
a lot of it's Bernanke.
You're saying
should the chairman of the Federal Reserve be appointed again?
You know, I think he's doing a good job.
You do?
Yes, I do. He's a pretty skilled expert at dealing with recessions and depressions and studying how you avoid depressions.
As an expert on the causes of the Great Depression.
And he's done a pretty effective job keeping us from having a total financial meltdown.
I'm sure Ben never imagined that he would be part of a team responsible for preventing another.
Do you think he should be reappointed?
I do.
And that is why I am reappointing him to another term as chairman of the Federal Reserve.
And I think it's important to have the Fed as an independent agency.
I don't think it's good policy for the president or a president-elect to second-guess the Fed, which is an independent body.
the National Defense Authorization Act.
Announcing a radical new claim of presidential power that is not afforded by the Constitution and that has never been attempted in American history.
It gives the military the power to indefinitely detain American citizens, suspected, just suspected, not convicted.
President Obama, on New Year's Eve, signed the National Defense Authorization Act. Gee, I wonder why he did it then. Obviously taking a lot of heat for it.
Yeah, it seems to me the Fourth Amendment in this case has really just been thrown out the window.
Governor Romney, as president, would you have signed the National Defense Act as written?
Yes, I would have, and I do believe that it's appropriate.
Well, could you please explain to me why you voted to reauthorize the Patriot Act, which is the worst attack on civil rights of Americans?
It's not actually true that the Patriot Act was the worst. Most of the problems that we have had in civil liberties, they were done through executive order by George W. Bush. That's actually how the worst abuses have occurred. That's what happened with Guantanamo. That's what happened with the warrantless wiretaps. That's what's happened with the suspension of habeas corpus. And I will reverse them with a stroke of a pen.
Governor Romney, I'll start with you. You have said that the government should wiretap some mosques to keep tabs on Islamic extremists.
And make sure that if they're doing that in a mosque, in a school, at a playground, wherever it's being done, we know what's going on. We need to know about that, track them, follow them, and make sure that in every way we can, we know what they're doing and where they're doing it. And if it means we have to go into a mosque to wiretap or a church, then that's exactly where we're going to go. And I hear from time to time people say, hey, wait a second, we have civil liberties we have to worry about.
President-elect Obama's pick for Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner. Governor, do you have second thoughts, even if it, what are your first thoughts about Geithner? Is he the right guy? Is he still the right guy?
Well, you know, when I heard about his announcement, I must admit that I was pleased. He's a person of accomplishment and skill. I think he's a very bright individual.
Tim Geithner is as sharp and as skilled a public servant as we have.
Your position on extending this payroll tax cut?
Well, I would like to see the payroll tax cut extended.
Extending the payroll tax cut is an idea that I proposed in September as part of the American Jobs Act.
And so my view is pursue a strategy which gets us into energy independent. That's my highest priority. And my focus as it comes to this topic is to get us off of our dependence on foreign oil.
To put people back to work today and reduce our dependence on foreign oil tomorrow.
To use our natural gas to drill for our oil.
A strategy that relies on producing more oil and gas here in America.
To use our coal, clean coal.
But also producing more biofuels in America, more fuel-efficient cars in America.
To use solar and wind and efficiency measures, that's my priority.
More wind power in America and more solar power in America.
Mitt Romney is obviously the choice of the Republican establishment. Those are the folks who brought us TARP and stimulus, wars fought on credit cards, federal agents writing their own search warrants, and the federal government taking over education. Mitt Romney believes in all these things, but here's the crusher. So does President Obama. There's not a dime's worth of difference between them. Name the topic on which the president has a real say, and they agree. Can the government mandate health care? Yes, from both. Should income taxes stay where they are on those who pay the most? Yes, from both. Can the president start a war on his own without a declaration of war from the Congress? Yes, from both. Can the president kill any American he wants? Incredibly, yes, from both. Oh, there is some difference in tone. One of them likes labor unions, and the other one likes big business. But both love big government.